Hello, my name is Douglas Escobar. I've been an Uber driver for a few years, but I already have a lot of experience on the road, since before that, I was a truck driver for more than 25 years. The story I have to tell you may seem unbelievable, but it's true. In all the time I've been driving, I've seen all kinds of impressive things, but nothing like what I saw that night, and believe me, I'm a very hard person to impress. It all started during a completely normal night. I don't know if you know this, but we Uber drivers don't just transport people, we also transport objects. I was making small trips until I suddenly received a notification on my app. It was to transport a small box according to the client. He had to give it to his girlfriend, who worked in a 24-hour veterinary. I only received this type of trip once every few months, so I wasn't going to waste the opportunity to take it. Not that this type of trip pays better or has any special benefits, it's just that, having been a truck driver for so long, I was used to traveling alone and missed it a bit. I drove to the meeting point where I was supposed to meet Pierce, the customer who was supposed to give me the small box. I drove until I reached an apartment that was quite old and in terrible condition. The neighborhood didn't look too dangerous, so I wasn't too afraid to wait in that area, although I must admit that the apartment looked out of place. While I was waiting for Pierce, I checked the detail he left me once again, as there were some things that didn't quite fit. The message said that I had to go into the vet's office and ask for Helen, and say that the box was from her boyfriend. Was this a surprise and Helen wasn't expecting him to come? If so, why would she send him a surprise in an Uber and not him if it was only a 7 or 8 block ride? While I was asking myself all these questions, I saw that the waiting time was ticking away, but Pierce still didn't open the door of the apartment. I looked one more time and thought I saw him. Behind the two apartment doors, there was a man waving at me, waving his hand. I looked back at the Uber app to remember Pierce's name when in as little as 2 or 3 seconds I looked down. Suddenly, the customer was next to me. Oh, you're Pierce, aren't you? Yes, sir. Sorry I'm late. This Pierce guy, there was something strange about him. He seemed very kind and polite. He had a soft and gentle smile. Something about him made me very uncomfortable. I felt that if I stayed too long near him, something bad would happen to me. But you know what was the weirdest thing? He didn't seem like a bad guy. I didn't feel like he was planning something or trying to do something bad to me. It just gave me a bad feeling. Excuse me, sir. Is something wrong? No, I'm sorry. I just blanked out for a second. Tell me, I have to take this box to the vet, right? Yes. It's very important that I do. If Helen asks, tell her that as strange as it may seem to her, it was me who sent it to her. You can describe me if she doesn't believe you. Okay. Is there anything else I should know?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Hey pal, you forgot to pay me. As soon as this man peered out of nowhere, he disappeared. The door to his apartment was still closed, the elevator was nowhere near, and no one near us looked confused. I didn't understand how that Pierce guy had done that, but I was happy to leave as soon as possible. The place was giving me a very bad feeling. I drove a few blocks to the vet's office. Once I got there, I got out of the car and asked for Helen. The vet was empty. It was pretty hidden for a vet that was open 24 hours a day, but I was sure that sooner or later I would have a client. I could tell it was a pretty good place. Once Helen came out, she looked at me curiously, not knowing who I was. I gave her the box and she grabbed it without understanding what was going on. When I told her who it was from, her eyes got as big as lanterns, and then she started crying and ran away. At the same time, the other veterinary employee got angry with me and invited me to leave, but not before insulting me from top to bottom. I wanted to tell the girl to pay me, but I could see that it would be impossible. I was about to give Pierce a negative rating and file a complaint with Uber when suddenly someone knocked on my window. It was Helen, who was still crying but still approached my car.
Are you sure that box was given to you by Pierce? Is that the man in this picture?
In the photo, you could see Pierce and Helen kissing. There was no doubt it was the same person who gave me the box. Yeah, it was him. There was no doubt.
Pierce has been missing for over 2 months. I'm sorry I didn't believe him. It just seemed implausible that if Pierce was really here, he would send a box and he wouldn't come. Unless he couldn't.
Miss, I'm sure of what I saw. He came out of an apartment a few blocks from here and came to give me that box.
His apartment? Listen, I guess he didn't pay you for your trip, did he?
Oh, speaking of that...
And the box he gave me was a cell phone. His cell phone. As soon as I turned it on, I saw a picture. I know that picture. Pierce and I were riding our bikes there. Can you give me a ride? I'll pay for the last ride in this one.
I'm sorry, I don't think I can. I have to meet a minimum of Uber trips, and I don't think I should get into this.
Oh, okay. I understand.
With that said, Helen left disappointed with the cell phone in her hand. A few seconds later, I was ready to start a new trip. My cell phone started ringing, and before I accepted the ride, I noticed that the client was a few meters away. It was Helen. Okay, why not? After I accepted the ride, the door of the vet's office opened again, and out came Helen in a jumpsuit. During the trip, Helen began to tell me some of the things that had happened. Everything was going well between Pierce and Helen, but one day, he left and just didn't come back. Helen told me how over the next few days, strange things started happening in their house. Chairs began to move by themselves, her room began to feel colder, and at times, she felt watched. All until one night. That night, Helen woke up in the wee hours of the morning. She felt someone knocking on her door. Still hoping it was Pierce or the police giving her bad news, she ran desperately to the front door. She looked through the hole in the door and there he was. Pierce was just standing there, waiting for her as he always used to do when he came to visit her. Excited and in tears, Helen opened the door and behind her, there was no one there. Helen looked around, confused, and saw footprints with dirt walking up to her doorway, but there were no footprints indicating that whoever had walked up to the door had left. Wait, so you're suggesting that Pierce's...
I know he's dead. That's why I got that way when you mentioned it. But that's also why I believed you that he might have given you that box.
But why me? What do I have to do with it?
I guess nothing. Maybe you were at the wrong time and place.
Story of my life. Did you see that? That was your boyfriend. He was at my window. This doesn't make any sense.
Is this it?
What?
The picture that was on Pierce's cell phone. That's it.
Helen desperately gets out of the car and runs to the dirt road. No cars are passing and the place is totally uninhabited.
Here, there's something.
Before I could see what was happening, Helen started digging in the dirt and I went to help her. After a few minutes, we found it. Pierce's body was already in the ground, decomposing. Helen wanted to hug him, but I quickly pushed her away and restrained her. This was a crime scene. We called the police, and once they came, Pierce's case was ruled a homicide. With all the new leads, checking cameras, and talking to neighbors, they were able to piece together what had happened. A few minutes before the disappearance, cameras spotted Pierce walking between two men. Pierce looked terrified, clearly walking against his will, most likely threatened. Over the weeks, Helen told me that they managed to find these two men. The stories they had from that day were different from each other. Neither of them expected to be caught. One of them confessed the truth. At first, they tried to rob Pierce, but one thing led to another, and seeing him so nice and friendly, they beat him to death on the road, then buried him and left. Since that day, Helen and I have been great friends, as I am also from the same neighborhood. In time, she was able to rebuild her life. Unlike me, she never saw Pierce again. She no longer needed to, she knew he was at peace. As for me, I saw him one more time. One day, I was finishing a trip near the apartment where Pierce had given me the box. As I passed by that apartment, I saw Pierce once again. He was staring at me, bowing his head with a smile, a sign of thanks. Okay, Rick. We heard you were ready to talk. If you want to tell us everything, from start to finish. I don't know if you'll believe me. Give it a try. You have no idea the things that we have heard. Okay, I'll tell you how it all started. It started on a Friday night. I remember it was pretty dark that day. I was leaving my house and my Uber had already arrived. I remember I had a big fight with my mother because she wouldn't let me go to my best friend's house. After all, it was too late. Can you imagine? I'm 23 years old and my mother thought she could forbid me to go out. I remember checking the driver's license plate just in case and it matched. The driver was Eric. All in all, he seemed like a completely normal guy, nothing that caught my attention. I got into the car and was surprised to see the space inside. It was a very big and luxurious car, the kind you don't see in Uber. What surprised me the most, and I don't even know if it's legal, is that I couldn't see the driver. He had his back turned, and a large space prevented me from getting close enough to try to see his face. Once I got in, the ride began immediately without the man saying a word to me. I greeted him, but he didn't answer me. I was feeling quite uncomfortable until suddenly, he spoke to me in an incredibly natural way. Hello, how are you this evening? Oh, hi, I'm fine, thanks for asking. And so our journey began. The road was quite long, and according to the app, I would arrive in 24 minutes. Normally it would be a pretty long ride, but in Uber, everything was shorter. Although I admitted that I was still pretty annoyed with my mother. I mean, it's not my fault that we live so far from the city center. The minutes passed and the trip was going pretty fast. The driver was nice. I mean, he was a strange man, extremely cheerful. He didn't seem at all like the same man who ignored me as soon as I got into the car. He seemed to want to engage me in conversation at all times, which didn't bother me. I needed to distract myself a little bit after the fight with my mother. Everything was going normal, but from one moment to the next, the conversation became much more personal. And tell me, do you live with your family? Yes, I live with my mother. Huh, you look a little uncomfortable with the question. I just fought with my mother. She didn't want me to go to my friend's house, so we had a big argument, and here I am. Oh, sorry to bring up the subject. No problem. But if you'll let me bring it up, mothers can be quite invasive. They never let their kids grow up. Kids are kids and will always be kids to them. You got that right, brother. Whatever the case may be, there's no reason to do what you did. What? What do you mean? Just ignore that I said something. His tone of voice had changed. There was something strange about him. Suddenly, I started to feel uncomfortable. I pulled back and started to use my cell phone. I didn't know the way, but I knew I would be there soon. I looked at my cell phone to see how much time I had left, and that's when I saw something that scared me. According to the Uber app, I would arrive at my destination in 38 minutes. Where was I? Where was this person taking me? Was this my Uber driver? I tried to stay calm and pretend I didn't know what was going on. The smartest thing I could do now was pretend I wasn't scared. Hey, excuse me. I think the app is bugged. Sometimes it happens to me. Can you tell me how close we are to my friend's house? We spent a few seconds in silence since he didn't answer me. He didn't even turn around for me to see his face. Hey, can you hear me? You shouldn't have done it, Rick. What? Do what? I don't know what you mean. Was it worth it? Suddenly, I could tell the car was getting faster and faster. I looked both sides of the window and realized that we were on the road. At what point had we arrived here? This man was not taking me to my friend's house. I was scared the whole time, but it was only then that I felt my life was really in danger. As I realized what was happening, I could see the car speeding up more and more. Hey, where are we? Answer me, did your mom deserve what you did to her? I don't know what you're talking about, please slow down, you're going too fast! Suddenly, the man turned around and I saw his face for the first time. It was horrible. His mouth, his eyes, his hair, he was melting. I could see the burnt skull behind his melted skin. As the car kept accelerating on its own, without him pressing the accelerator, I began to cry desperately. Was this a nightmare? Where was I? I closed my eyes as tightly as I could, hoping to wake up and end whatever I had been living. No! You are not having a nightmare, and you don't have the right to close your eyes. You will see everything! Why, Rick? Why did you do that to your mom? I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone! Yes! You know what I'm talking about. Would you like me to remind you? You argued with your mom. You tried to run away from home and she stopped you. You pushed her and she broke her neck. Don't you remember? You ran away like the coward you are. You couldn't stop running and you couldn't stop thinking about the image of your mom with her neck broken, dead on the floor. No. Yes. Did you think you could run away? Where did you ask me to take you? To my friend's house. Please let me go. Don't you remember why your mom didn't let you go? You don't have any friends. You've never met anyone. Do you know why? Because you're completely crazy. You're a murderer, and on top of that, you're completely crazy. Isn't that funny? No, 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 no! And that's all I remember. I see, Rick. I'm glad you were able to tell us what you remember.
Oh, God! Do you think he'll get better?
I don't know. He needs a lot of treatment and, more than anything, time.
Why do you think he thinks he murdered me?
It's too quick to define, but there are several indications that we're dealing with schizophrenia. How did you find him after he ran away?
We argued. He ran off. And when I came down to look for him, he was in an abandoned car in front of the house, crying.
Possibly he saw this car and linked it to an Uber. Rick's mind is very complex. From our side, we'll do everything we can to get him better so he can live a life that's as normal
Being an Uber driver, I've heard a lot of terrifying stories from fellow Uber drivers. However, I'm a practical man. I know sometimes your mind can play tricks on you, and you can see or feel things that are not real, but are just a fragment of your imagination. Until that fateful day. It was a regular night in Seattle. The weather was dull as usual. Rainy, damp, and cold. I usually prefer to drive my Uber at night, as the fare was good, and there was less traffic on the road. I live close to a famous club in the city, so most of the time my first clients are the drunk youngsters getting out of the club. It's truly disappointing to see so many capable young people waste their lives on drugs and alcohol every night. But what can I say? I was the same when I was their age. Otherwise, I wouldn't be stuck driving an Uber. Nevertheless, it's for the best that it's me dropping off these youngsters at home instead of some random driver who can either rob them or take advantage of them. Believe me when I tell you I sleep better knowing a drunk and unconscious girl is safe at her home because I dropped her off with her other friends. This day was like no other. I got a notification on my Uber driver's app that I had to pick up a passenger from the club. I backed my car out of my front yard and drove to the club. Right in front of the club, on the sidewalk, was a group of people. From their clothes and the way they carried themselves, I could easily tell all of them were corporate employees. It was a group of like 15 people. All the people were hugging and bidding farewell to a girl among them. She was slender, brunette, wore a pantsuit, and looked the most elegant amongst them all. She too was talking to all of them and hugging them. I watched the show for a few minutes and then honked my car's horn to let my passengers know that I was there to pick them up. Somehow, I knew it was one of them. To my surprise, hearing my car's horn, the brunette turned and started walking towards me. She got into the back seat, put her handbag beside her, fastened her seatbelt, and told me the OTP code when I asked her for it. It would take me almost an hour to drop her at her address, navigating the night traffic. She did not seem drunk. Usually, it's my observation that whenever I give a ride to young people, if they aren't drunk or hungover, they prefer to bury their noses in their cell phones. Social media has everyone's attention these days. But not this girl. She was staring out of the window at all the vehicles passing by and the faint raindrops falling on the window. I prefer not to have a conversation with my passengers. I prefer the quiet and the road, rather than having small talk with different people every 20 minutes. But this girl surprised me and spoke first.
"Do you ever think about death?"
she asked. An absurd question for such a young woman to ask, but being my age, you do think about death once in a while. So I answered her honestly. "I do. Sometimes."
"It must be nice being this old,"
she said. And then chuckled. "Hardly. Your joints hurt. You can't move fast. You can't eat without your digestion cycle messing up. The list goes on."
"It's so nice you get to experience all of that."
That statement from her kind of surprised me. I mean, who wants to be old, right? You think being old is nice? Having noisy joints and the need to still work at this age is nice?
"At least you got to experience life for that long. Some of us aren't that lucky, you know,"
she said, resting her head on the glass. "Why would you say that?" Now I was confused.
"My colleagues were throwing me a going-away party there in the club. I quit my current job. I told them I was going to Germany because I accepted a better position there, when, in reality, I have no job offer in Germany. The truth is that I'm dying. Stage 4 blood cancer. There's no cure. Treatment can make me lose a year at most, but honestly, I feel like I have a few weeks. A couple of months if I'm lucky. I quit the job because I'll die soon. I have no family. I'm an orphan. And no husband or boyfriend either. My only family was those people whom I worked with in the office every day. And now I have said goodbye to them all as well. I don't want to burden any of them with my sickness. It's better to just go alone. But I envy you. I really wish I could live long enough to experience the joint pain and the sleepless nights and the crying and laughter of my grandkids. You really are lucky.
I was stunned, to say the least. I was not expecting such deep words to come from the young woman in the back seat. She kept on talking for a while, told me some memories from the foster home she grew up in, and then some from her college. She told me about her dreams and her fears. All I did was patiently listen as I drove the car. Tears were rolling down her cheeks as she spoke. We were approaching her destination, and I felt deeply sad for her. All the things we take for granted. Suddenly, she made me stop the car in front of a small ice cream shop.
"Will you have a cup of ice cream with me?"
she asked with watery eyes. I could not say no. "Sure." We silently had a scoop of ice cream each, and then she got into the car. I started driving, and we were only a mile away from her home, and the road was comparatively deserted as she lived on the outskirts of the city. For the rest of the ride, she reached out her hand partially out of the window and made waves with her palm. Then, while leaving, she paid me with cash and said the most heartbreaking thing ever.
"Thanks for having the ice cream with me. I didn't want to have it alone, as I have no one left in the world."
I could not hold back my own tears as I drove away. For that night, I did not take any more passengers. I returned home and cried a bit. A few months passed, and I had totally forgotten about the woman. I was driving back into the city and passed in front of the ice cream shop. I thought I should stop and have a scoop of ice cream there. It was an intense feeling. The moment I stepped into the ice cream parlor, got a scoop, and walked towards one of the tables, my eyes landed on the woman sitting at the back table. She was the same girl who I dropped off all those months ago. I walked towards her, and she instantly recognized me.
"Oh, it's you again. It's nice to have company while eating ice cream, you know."
I nodded and stared at her. She seemed much happier and more cheerful than before. I wanted to ask her if she was okay, how her treatments were going, but I just sat quietly and ate ice cream. She spoke about the weather and other such miscellaneous things. I just listened while she spoke. Later, when I went to pay for the ice cream, I told the boy to add the woman's bill to mine as well. That's when he looked at me funny and asked me which girl. I turned to look at the back table to find it empty. There was no girl there. I asked the boy at the counter if he saw the girl there sitting with me, when he told me I was sitting on the back table all alone. This shocked me, and I paid for the ice cream and left. Later that night, when I was thinking about my second encounter with the woman, I think it was her soul's way of visiting me one last time. I was scared, but also content to know that wherever the woman's soul was, it seemed happy.